If you'd like to spend some time with real people with a real heart for God, we welcome you to visit us at Harvest Church in Alexandria, Virginia. Our Sunday morning services are held at 10:30, and our Family Night Fellowship takes place on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Come experience God's awesome, life-changing power as we worship in His presence, fellowship with one another, commit to discipleship, and share God's love through evangelism. For more information or directions, visit harvestnova.com. That's harvestnova.com.
Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. I have taken an oath and confirmed it that I will follow your righteous laws. I have suffered much. Preserve my life, O Lord, according to your word. Accept, O Lord, the willing praise of my mouth and teach me your laws. Though I constantly take my life in my hands, I will not forget your law. The wicked have set a snare for me, but I have not strayed from your precepts. Your statutes are my heritage forever. They are the joy of my heart. My heart is set on keeping your decrees to the very end. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Last Sunday, I began a new sermon series entitled All In. We talked about what it means to be all in, to expend all energy and all resources to be fully committed to something. And we talked about believers who are all in on serving God. We said that believers who are all in meet challenges with a fierce determination. We also talked about the fact that believers who are all in apply a strict discipline to their lives because they're willing to do whatever it takes to follow after God. Well, the title of my message today is All In on the Word. All In on the Word. You know, a lot of people are confused about the Word of God. Came across some interesting takes or statements that people came out with based on their misunderstanding of the Word of God. Someone said Noah's wife was called Joan of Arc. That's not exactly right. Someone else said the fifth commandment is humor thy father and mother. Well, I know some kids follow that, but that's not exactly right. Lot's wife was a pillar of salt by day and a ball of fire at night. No, that's not right either. When Mary heard she was to be the mother of Jesus, she went off and sang the Magna Carta. There's a little confusion of dates there. Someone said holy acrimony is another name for marriage. Now, I don't know if that was a disgruntled spouse or what. Someone else said the Pope lives in a vacuum. Vatican City, okay, you'll think of that later. Someone else said a Republican is a sinner mentioned in the Bible. Some of you may agree with that. The natives of Macedonia did not believe, so Paul got stoned, one person said. Well, yeah, but you know, you kind of got that wrong. Someone else said, it is sometimes difficult to hear what is being said in church because the agnostics are so terrible. I think they meant acoustics. Okay, well, anyway, people are confused. A survey conducted by Barna Research Group reveals the confusion over Christian terms. Only 9% of the respondents accurately define the Great Commission. About 75% of born-again Christians could not offer a definition. 18% of the respondents correctly defined evangelical, with 57% of born-again Christians unable to give a definition. 25% of the respondents gave accurate or partially accurate descriptions of John 3:16. And again, only half of the born-again Christians could offer a definition. 37% of the respondents correctly defined gospel. 16% of born-again Christians could not offer a definition of the gospel. George Barna, the pollster, concluded, these terms do not convey the intended meaning to the masses. The fact that so few of the insiders understand the meaning of these terms also suggests that the Christian church in this country would be wise to invest in training people about the basic principles and concepts of the Christian faith. church, to a large extent, the body of Christ is illiterate, biblically speaking. And that should alarm us. That should concern us. Because the Bible is our roadmap. The Bible is God's love letter to the church. The Bible is God's pattern for living. To the extent we follow its ways, we are successful in life. To the extent we don't, our life is filled with confusion, self-inflicted trouble, and disaster. If we are all in, as we talked about last Sunday, on serving God, we need to be all in on the Word. All in on the Word. And keep in mind, we said all in means exactly that. All in. Not partway in. Not in when it suits me. Not in when it's convenient. Not in when it pleases my flesh. But we're talking about being all in. Amen? Amen? Come on, church. We're talking about being all in this morning. All in on the Word. In this great chapter, of course, the longest chapter in the Bible, Psalm 119, we picked out 8 verses here. This passage talks so eloquently about the importance of the Word of God to the people of God. And I want to take one point from each verse that we read and answer the question this morning: how do believers who are all in relate to the Word of God? If we're all in, if we're holding nothing back, if we're all in on serving God and the kingdom of God, then how do we relate to the Word of God? I want to suggest to you 8 ways. And then I have something very, very exciting to share with you at the end of my message today. Something that will help us be all in on the Word of God. How many are all in for that? Amen. Thank you. All right, how do believers who are all in relate to the Word of God? Number one, they value God's Word. They place value upon God's Word. Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. A light is pretty valuable, wouldn't you say? My daughter Stephanie, who just a few weeks ago moved to California, she used to live an apartment here in Alexandria, and my wife and I would go there. We would take the parkway up, Alexandria Parkway, up to go there. And I don't know if you've ever driven on that parkway. There are no streetlights on that parkway. And it is completely dark. And I always told my girls, if you have one headlight, even before she lived there, if you have one headlight that goes out, you as quickly as you can get that repaired, because you just never know if the other headlight will go out, and then you'll be on a dark road. One time I experimented, I probably shouldn't share this, I don't recommend this, while driving on the parkway at night, for about a half a second, I flipped my lights off, and I quickly flipped them back on, because it was terrifying. Yeah, don't do that. Parents, go home and tell your kids, don't do what Pastor Tim did, okay? This is one time you can do that. But it was terrifying. It was completely dark. When you're in the darkness, nothing is more valuable than the Word of God. And the psalmist here says, your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. He values the Word of God. We have to ask ourselves, do we value the Word of God? You know, we live in a culture and a society that devalues the Word of God and the things of God. Says that's some old fantasy. That's a book filled with stories. That's a book full of fables. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't matter. It's not relevant to our lives. In 2019, I beg to disagree this morning. I believe if we value the Word of God, there are people... most Americans have several copies of the Word of God in their possession and yet understand very little of it. Do you know there are people today in 2019, there are people meeting overseas who gather together in an underground gathering, underground church, and they pass around individual pages of the Bible, and they treat it like it's the greatest treasure on earth, which to them it is. that they have even a page or two of God's word, and they share it together, and they go through it, and they value the word of God. We have Bibles by the dozens. Sometimes we treat it like it's any other possession, any other book to gather dust on the shelf. Shame on us. Let me say this morning, if you are here and you don't have a copy of the Word of God, let us know. We'll get you one. Matter of fact, I'm going to talk more about that a little later. It is said that when the famous missionary Dr. David Livingstone started his trek across Africa, he had 73 books in three packs weighing 180 pounds. After the party had gone 300 miles, Livingstone was obliged to throw away some of the books because of the fatigue of those carrying his baggage. As he went along, his library grew less and less until he had one book left, his Bible. He said, "I'm not getting rid of that." An unknown writer said, "This book is the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy, its precepts are binding, its histories are true, and its decisions are immutable. Read it to be wise, believe it to be safe, practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, and comfort to cheer you. It is the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, and the Christian's character. Here paradise is restored, heaven opened, and the gates of hell disclosed. Christ is its grand subject, our good is its design, and the glory of God its end. It should fill the memory, rule the heart, and guide the feet. Read it slowly, frequently, prayerfully. It is a mine of wealth, a paradise of glory, and a river of pleasure. Follow its precepts, and it will lead you to Calvary, to the empty tomb, to a resurrected life in Christ, yes, to glory itself for eternity." That's the Word of God, amen? Amen. We are privileged to be able to have the Word of God. Let us value the Word of God. Believers who are all in, they place a high value on the eternal Word of Almighty God, amen? Amen. What's the second thing? Second way believers who are all in relate to the Word of God, they submit to God's Word. They submit to God's Word. Verse 106 says, "I have taken an oath and confirmed it that I will follow your righteous laws whenever it's convenient." Oh, does your translation say that? Okay, I misread that. "I will follow your righteous laws if they align with my values." How many have that? No? Okay. "I will follow your righteous laws 95% of the..." No, it doesn't say that. No, it just says, "I will follow your righteous laws." I will submit to God's word. I think that's one of the biggest problems in modern day Christendom. The lack of willingness to submit. To submit to authority. To submit to those who are placed over us, and to submit to the Word of God. You see, when we're all in, we say, "God, I'm all in on your Word. I'm all in on your precepts." I love what somebody said. Listen to this. They said, "Men do not reject the Bible because it contradicts itself, but because it contradicts them." How true that is. Let me tell you something, and I know you've heard this. If you ever hear the Bible, "I know the Bible says this, but..." Red flag. Well, I know what the Bible says, but what? I know the Bible, you know, talks about this, and I know if we went strictly by the Bible, you know, we do this, but... What? No buts. The Bible says it, and we interpret it correctly and understand it. That settles it. It's getting quiet, but that's okay. Hopefully that means you're thinking. How many believers who love the Lord have shipwrecked their lives because when it comes to something they want to do, they say, "Well, I know the Bible says this, but..." Bible says, "Don't be yoked to an unbeliever." But I really love him. on dangerous ground. The Bible says, but Luke 11:28 says, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it. Psalm 40, verse 8, I desire to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. Psalm 119:9, how can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Church, I respectfully ask this morning, where in your life have you said, the word of God says this, but? Where in your life have you compromised what you understand to be the clear meaning of Scripture because you wanted to go another way? See, we can't do that if we're all in. If we're all in, we say, the word of God says this, and I submit to it. Even now, I believe, and I'm not saying this prophetically, but I believe there are some of you right now, God is speaking to your heart. He's saying you've applied that principle, you've applied that philosophy to this area of your life. The word of God says this, but because I want to do that. And you've rationalized and you convinced yourself, I'm going to go this way when you know the word of God says something else. It's time we submit. Whether it's our moral purity, whether it's our relationships, whether it's the way we handle our finances, whether it's our relationship with our spouse or our family members, whether it's the integrity we have and the way we conduct our business or do other things, the Word of God is very clear. Believers who are all in, submit to God's Word. Lord God, I pray right now that all of us as believers would bring every area of our lives into submission to your word as we understand it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thirdly, this morning, believers who are all in are protected by the word of God. Verse 107 says, I have suffered much. Preserve my life, O Lord, according to your word. Preserve my life. Did you know that the word of God is a source of protection for us? Did you know that? It protects us. When we follow the word of God, there is a protection over us. We might have negative situations in life. We might have challenges and problems in life. The Bible talks about that. But when we act with integrity, when we act according to the word of God, when we submit to the word of God, there is divine protection over us. Psalm 18:30 says, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is flawless. He is a shield for all who take refuge in him. Hallelujah. I can't think of a better shield than Almighty God, can you? Psalm 119:40, how I long for your precepts, preserve my life in righteousness. Psalm 119:92 and 93, if your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have preserved my life. The word of God is a protection. How do you avoid sexually transmitted diseases? Abstinence, sexual abstinence before marriage and monogamy after marriage. Works 100% of the time with no exceptions. See, that's the word of God. But man has a better idea. No, I want to be free. Isn't it ironic that in declaring how free we want to be as a race of people, that we live in bondage to our fleshly passions? When we follow the word of God, it works every time. Give to God of the tithes and the offerings what he deserves. And God said he'll meet your needs. He didn't say you'll be wealthy, but he said he will meet your needs. Works every time. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. The word of God is our protection. A former park ranger at Yellowstone National Park tells the story of a ranger leading a group of hikers to a fire lookout. And the ranger was so intent on leading the hikers and telling them about the flowers and the animals that he considered the messages on his two-way radio and the static distracting, so he switched the radio off. Nearing the tower, the ranger was met by a breathless lookout who asked why he hadn't responded to the messages on his radio. And he said, "Well, I turned it off because it was distracting." It turns out that a grizzly bear had been seen stalking the group, and the authorities were trying to warn them of the danger. How many times do we tune out the Word of God? Do we tune out the precepts of God? To our own risk. To our own risk. It's not just with our finances or with our moral purity. It's with every area of life. Every one of us are capable of bad attitudes. Is that true? I don't care how righteous you think you are. You can have a bad attitude. I can have a bad attitude. Just ask my wife. No, don't ask her. She's here today, by the way. She's able to be here. She's been under the weather for a long time. Thankful for that. But she's here. You know what? You know what a protection against bad attitude is? Reading the Word of God. I mean, you found that to be true. And the Lord will speak to your heart and say, "Hey, this is the attitude that you have. You need to make it right." And that's for our protection. You know, when Israel was in the wilderness and God was leading them, he was leading them with a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And as long as they moved with the cloud, they were protected. In the daytime, they were protected from the heat of the day. In the nighttime, they were protected from the cool of the night. But if they strayed out from under that cloud, they were out from under God's protection. It's the same way with the Word of God. When we adhere to the Word of God the best we can, as we understand it, we will be protected. Life can be difficult. Life can be challenging. There's no doubt about that. But the Word of God will protect us. I want to be under the protection of God's Word, don't you? Number four, believers who are all in learn from God's Word. They learn from God's Word. Verse 108, "Accept, O Lord, the willing praise of my mouth, and teach me your laws." Teach me your laws. One of the biggest impediments to progressing in our Christian life is to feel like we've heard it all and seen it all. And it's easy to feel that way sometimes, right? You've been in church a long time. You've heard thousands of sermons. Probably heard several on this passage alone. Heard sermons, you've seen the TV preachers, you've read the books, and you just, "Man, I've heard it all." Come to church on Sunday morning, and yeah, we'll sing some songs, and pastor will preach. "Oh, what's this? Oh, yeah, I've heard that before." Yep. And we kind of tune out. But it's amazing what we can, if we have a willing spirit and an open heart, what we can learn from the Word of God. I don't care if you've known the Lord 50 days or 50 years. How many know there's something new in the Word of God? There's fresh gold to mine out of the Scriptures. The sad truth is, too many times we're okay just drifting along. Same old, just get through the week to get to the weekend, you know, and we're just kind of coasting and just kind of. But God has so much more for us. God wants to take us to new places. God wants to do new things in our hearts and lives. And how does that happen? It happens as we learn from the Word of God. The great preacher Alexander White, when he was too old to preach, he would rise every morning to prepare a sermon, even though he never preached them. He did this until the day he died. He was convinced that the study of the Word of God was essential to his spiritual well-being. Heard the story of a man who was on the ocean on a huge yacht. He and those who were with him had cruised for days and somehow had gotten lost. The captain then noticed something that the owner of the yacht, his little son, had placed his toy magnet, he had attached it to the casing around the compass. Well, the magnetic force of that toy had distorted the readings on the compass. They trusted the compass, but the magnet had distorted the direction in which they traveled and got them lost. Sometimes I think, church, we are trusting in a distorted compass. We trust in the advice of friends. We trust in what is the popular trend in life. We trust our own desires. We trust our own rational way of thinking. And what we don't realize is we are following the path of a distorted compass. You know one compass that never gets distorted? The Word of God. The pure Word of God. Hallelujah. What is your compass this morning? What do you follow after? What are you learning? When is the last time? I'm saying this in love, church, but believe me, I told you, every message I preach, God preaches to me first and hits me right between the eyes. So I've been right where you are this morning. Let me ask you this. When's the last time you were reading the Word of God or discussing the Word of God and a fresh spiritual truth just jumped out at you? You ever have that experience? And you think, man, perhaps you've read that passage many times before, but something, it clicks. Am I right? And it just jumps out at you. Or someone shares just a fresh perspective on that, and you're like, wow, that is so awesome. When's the last time that happened? God has fresh nuggets like that. God has fresh perspectives and fresh understandings of the passages in His Word for us all the time. And that's how we learn. That's how we grow when we get into the Word of God and His Word comes alive to us. Hallelujah. And we're reminded that it's not some dead book. It's not some book of fables and outdated proverbs that have nothing to do with our modern everyday life, but in fact, it is life to us. And there is something to learn. 2 Timothy 3:15, Paul said to his son in the faith, "How from infancy you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." And in 2 Timothy 2:15, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth." Disciples learn from God's word. Number five, those who were all in, believers who were all in, depend on God's word. Look at verse 109. "Though I constantly take my life in your hands, I will not forget your law." David's life was constantly at risk, but he depended on the word of God. Don't you get frustrated with depending on people that you can't depend on? It's in the mail. Don't you love to hear that? Maybe in the mail, but it's not in my mail. My wife and I were waiting for something supposed to get to us in 5 days. It took about 6 weeks. That was frustrating. It's in the mail. You can't depend, and you know, every one of us here knows the difficulty of depending on people and finding out you can't depend on them. You can depend on the Word of God. And when we absorb the Word of God, when we receive it, you will find that there will be situations in life where it will just come alive to you. I'm not a scuba diver, but that probably surprises you. But when you take up scuba dive, any scuba divers here? A few of you. I'm told that one of the things they tell you is your bubbles are always right. Have you heard that? When you're deep underwater, you're surrounded by an aura of light, and it's very difficult to tell which way is up. The water diffuses the light. And since you have a sense of weightlessness in the water, it's easy to lose your sense of direction. You don't know which way is up. You may feel strongly that one direction is up, but you may be misled. But they say, follow your bubbles, because bubbles always go up. And that is something you can depend on. And if you fail to follow the direction of the bubbles to go up, you do so at your peril. Many people in this world, you know this as well as I do, are disoriented. They don't know which way is up. They don't know what to depend on, what advice, what knowledge, what word to depend on. Follow the bubbles this morning. Amen. The Word of God. We can depend on the Word of God. When God says He will give us words to say in a difficult situation, you can depend on that Word. When God's Word says, I have been young and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed begging bread, you can depend on that. When the Word of God says, my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus, come on, church, you can depend on that. When God in His Word says He will not let temptation come upon you beyond your ability to bear or to cope with it, you can depend on the Word of God. When God says He gives wisdom to all who ask, you can depend on the Word of God. Hallelujah. Are you in a difficult situation? Depend on God's Word. Look to God's Word. God's Word will come through for you. How many know what I'm talking about this morning? How many have depended on God's Word? Believers who are all in depend on God's Word. Number six, believers who are all in persist in God's Word. They persist in God's Word. Look at verse 110. The wicked have set a snare for me, but I have not strayed from your precepts. They persist. They stay rock solid, steady. Focused upon the Word of God. Chuck Swindoll said this in his book, Improving Your Serve. Let's pretend that you work for me. In fact, you are my executive assistant in a company that is growing rapidly. I'm the owner, and I'm interested in expanding overseas. So to pull this off, I make plans to travel abroad and stay there until the new branch office gets established. I make all the arrangements, take my family to Europe for 6 to 8 months. I leave you in charge of my stateside organization. I tell you that I will write you regularly and give you direction and instructions. I leave and you stay. Months pass. A flow of letters from Europe is received by you at the national headquarters. I spell out all my expectations. Finally, I return after several months. I come to the national office and I'm stunned. Grass and weeds have grown up high. A few windows along the street are broken. I walk into the receptionist's room. She is doing her nails, chewing gum, and listening to her favorite radio station. I look around and notice the waste baskets are overflowing. The carpet hasn't been vacuumed in weeks. Nobody seems concerned that the owner has returned. I ask you, and someone asks for you, someone in the crowded lounge area points to the hall and says, I think he's down there. Disturbed, I move in that direction. I bump into you as you are finishing a chess game with our sales manager. I ask you to step into my office, which has been turned into a television room for watching shows in the afternoon, and I say, what in the world's going on? You say, what do you mean? Well, look at this place. Didn't you get any of my letters? Your letters? Oh, yeah. We got every one of them. As a matter of fact, we have a letter study group every Friday night since you left. We divide all the personnel into small groups, discuss many of the things you wrote. Some of them were really interesting, by the way. You'll be pleased to know that a few of us have actually committed to memory some of your sentences and paragraphs. One or two have even memorized an entire letter. Great stuff in those letters. Okay, you got my letters, you studied them, you meditated on them, you discussed them, you even memorized them. But what did you do about them? Do? We didn't do anything about them. I wonder if God feels that way. Oh, Lord, we love your word. Lord, we study. Lord, we have Bible studies. We have small groups. We get together. We study your word. We look. God, we even look up the Greek and the Hebrew. I mean, come on. That's pretty impressive. Yeah, but what'd you do about it? Did you persist in it? Did you stick with it even when you're tempted to go another way? Believers who are all in, they persist in the Word of God. They say, the Word of my God. I know, it's to the utter chagrin of some people. Say, oh, God, man, you're,
Will you stop sticking to that old Bible and get with it? I'd rather stick with the old Bible than be with it any day of the week. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. Believers who are all in persist in God's word. Number seven, believers who are all in find joy in God's word. Verse 111, your statutes are my heritage forever. They are the joy of my heart. Did you know from being focused upon the word of God and absorbing it as we're talking about today, you actually find a joy in God's word? How many know God is a God of joy? You see, people have the wrong idea. They think God's a killjoy. No, God is the source of joy. Hallelujah. His word is the pathway to joy. Can I get an amen this morning? You know, they talk about a malady called seasonal affective disorder. Have you heard of that? Caused some people who have this, they suffer from a lack of exposure to sunlight, particularly hard in the winter months. They say it alters a person's brain chemistry, and serotonin's not released in sufficient quantities, and depression can occur, and oftentimes they're prescribed light therapy, artificial light to improve their condition. Seasonal affective disorder, or SAD, as it's appropriately the appropriate acronym for it is. Only affects about 1 in 5 people. But I think there's another SAD, another SAD, call it spiritual affective disorder. At times, our spiritual life may enter a state of sleepiness. We become lethargic in our love for God and unproductive. And the joy is drained out of our lives. Church, when we get into the Word of God, God wants to restore our joy. How many believe that this morning? Thank you. Hallelujah. Listen to Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2. Blessed is the man who does not... Blessed means happy or joyful. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked or stand in the way of sinners or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. The law of the Lord is perfect. Psalm 19, verses 7 through 8 says, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. Psalm 119, 14 through 16. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts. And consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. How awesome is that? I guarantee you, if you get into the word of God more than you ever have before, you're going to be more joyful than you have before. Say, how is that? Well, when you absorb more of the word of God and you begin to live more of the word of God, you're going to find the word of God coming true in your life. You're going to find... You know, the Bible says a soft answer turns away wrath. You know, when someone mistreats us, we want to, you know, give them the left foot of fellowship sometimes, you know. Or, you know, we want to retaliate. But the Scripture says a soft answer turns away wrath. And maybe that's not your character. Maybe you're like, boy, I don't start trouble, but boy, when it comes for me, man, I give as good as I get. Well, maybe if we try to follow the word of God instead, so we don't have to retaliate, and a soft answer dissipates wrath. And then it happens, and we gain a relationship with someone we didn't have before. We say, you know, hey, funny thing, this Bible, it works. Who knew? God knew. Find joy in the word. Eighth and finally, those who are all in on the word of God commit to God's word. Verse 112, my heart is set on keeping your decrees to the very end. I love that. To the very end. To the end of my days, I'm going to be committed to God's word. We live in a no commitment age, don't we? People are afraid of commitment.
Listen to what C.H. Spurgeon, the great preacher, said. I would recommend you either believe God up to the hilt or else not to believe at all. Can you imagine a preacher saying such a thing? He goes on, believe this book of God, every letter of it, or else reject it. There is no logical standing place between the two. Be satisfied with nothing less than a faith that swims in the deeps of divine revelation. A faith that paddles about the edge of the water is poor faith at best. It is little better than a dry land faith, and it is not much, it's not good for much. He's saying, be committed to go all the way with the Word of God, or don't go at all. I've said before, some people have the salad bar approach to the Word of God. Anybody here like a good salad bar? It's okay, I do too. I love a good salad. But you know, the appeal of the salad bar is you can pick and choose what you want, right? I get my money's worth at a good salad bar, I gotta tell you. It's in the right place. You know, and I get on there, everything. It's great. But the salad bar approach is not recommended for the Word of God. Well, I like that. Oh, the Lord's gonna bless me? Yeah, I like that. I'm a child of God. I'm in His call. I love the Word of God. Do unto others as you would have them do to you. Oh, let's get rid of that. When people persecute you, leap for joy. Salad bar approach. C.H. Spurgeon said, either be all in or don't be in at all. James 1, 22 through 25, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. Psalm 119, 11, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Psalm 119, 30, I have chosen the way of truth. I have set my heart on your laws. Those who are all in are committed to the word of God. Conclusion this morning, you see it all up there. Believers who are all in relate to the word of God. They value the word. They submit to the word, protected by the word. They learn from the word. They depend on the word. They persist in the word, they find joy in the word, and they commit to the word. Are you all in today on the word of God?